Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday Postcast. I'm Muddy Blair, joined in the studio by Dave Alton. He's back, returned. Robbie Wilders is here as well, as is Paul Binfield from Paddy Power. Now, lads, quite excited. Good atmosphere in the studio today. Robbie, we're just having a chat about the old Friday night football we play. You made your first appearance on Friday.
How was it? It was good fun, wasn't it? Found out for a bit of work rate in the end, I think. But certainly, not that I was counting, but I did score 5 goals on the night.
Yeah, because you were goal hanging.
I was goal hanging. That was quite a good.
You scored a 5-timer, did you?
I did actually.
To say that is surprising.
Best of the Souter-esque. Scored a nice half volley as well. Ball was chipped over.
Not a perfect hat trick. A sizzling 5-timer.
No headers, you couldn't really hit it.
Did anyone actually witness this, or are you?
Well, I was playing, but I'm not going to give him too much credit, even though he wasn't.
Maybe it was 4, actually. Maybe I was.
I don't think you would have scored that many if it wasn't for me, so. You know.
I don't know. I wasn't seeing much mobility from me at times.
Disgusting, don't you?
Well, it is. It is. Got to be careful with that sort of chat. Keen footballer? Mm-hmm. Not these days, funnily enough. No? Big Watford fan, which is, you know, which was great up until the FA Cup final, but, you know, things happen, don't they?
Typical, yeah.
I need a summer off, to be honest.
Summer off?
After that, I need a proper summer off, yeah.
Yeah, well, people who aren't getting the summer off are the people in the Love Island Villa, Robbie. Your postcast hasn't quite got
absolutely,
off the ground
yet. Yeah, we're trying to kickstart a Love Island postcast. I put a poll out on Twitter.
You do punt on it, I'm assuming.
I have in previous years. I've not had a punt yet. A few people in the office have, but it can be quite a good bet.
Usually quite a confident chap, so it's a.
Have you got a bet?
Wide open.
I haven't got a bet. I'm gutted. I missed the value on Callum to leave first. He was about 7-2 at one point. He didn't show an awful lot in there for me.
Callum Shepherd.
Well, I'm not sure of his surname. Didn't show enough. He got found out. He got ejected. There's value to be had though. I know a good friend of ours, Tony McFadden, he got on at 4-1 about Amy. That's looking at price now. She's into about 2.
He looks like an average.
But
Ireland,
I think there's legs in this, and I'll be knocking on producer Rob's door for the coming weeks.
Yeah, Rob playing football as well. He's dead keen on the Love Island postcast. Make sure you comment down below if that's something you'd be interested in. Who knows? Maybe we can get it off the ground. Let's talk about some racing, shall we? Fair to say, probably not the most inspiring weekend of action, but some good performances nevertheless, Dave.
You are snobs, the pair of you. I was saying this just before we came on. You just want classic action, don't you? Or Grand Nationals or Gold Cups and things like that. You know, Irish Guineas. Yeah, there was plenty to talk about. Loads, really. I mean, you know, Safe Voyage, probably the performance of the weekend, would you say?
Yeah, behind us. Yeah, in the John O'Gaunt.
In the slop. Yeah, it looks important to him, doesn't it? From a historical point of view and on RPRs, he's up there with recent winners of the John O'Gaunt. He absolutely sauntered through, didn't he? Mm. And there's talk of now going to the Sprint Cup. He's had 3 runs over 6 furlongs.
That race would sit him down to the ground.
Not for a long time he's run over. He has won over at Thirsk, which is a rising finish, obviously, there, isn't it? He's going to need, I mean, the way he travels, it's definitely worth a go. Is he just one of those specialists, though? We find years after years after years, we try and make these 7 furlong horses into sometimes horses they're not. Mm. And he does look like he's got a specialist set of skills to me. Soft ground and 7 furlongs.
Yeah, could fit into that category. Safe Voyage, Robbie, would he be on
your radar? Yeah, good performance. Everything seemed to click. He was rated 109 before that. He'll probably sneak up into about 115. That makes him a pretty solid Group 2 horse. John Quinn was mooting the Lennox Stakes, potentially Glorious Goodwood. Obviously, as Dave said, I think the ground's quite key to this horse. Talking about the Prix de la Forêt as well. As long as he seems to think, as long as he's not firm in the description, he'll still go well. But it's quite amazing to think that he was beaten in marks in the 70s a couple of years ago. How far he's come. Thought there was quite a big run from Snazzy Jazzy in third, actually.
He loves the ground as well, doesn't he?
It does love the ground. That was his first start of the season. He looks like he could have quite a profitable campaign. He was really weak in the betting as well, and there were quite a few non-runners, which suggested that he probably wasn't fancied to run too well, and he probably outrun his odds. Good race. Safe Voyage, certainly a horse to keep on side for the future.
Yeah, I must admit, I really like Snazzy Jazzy. Quite encouraged with that run, as you say. The betting indicated he wasn't quite cherry ripe for it. Binners, understandably, we're not going to be going to you with too many prices for horses for the future, but Safe Voyage, he's still a really classy winner of the race.
Yeah, Maddie, good afternoon, listeners. Can't really add much more to that, to what you've already said, the Lennox Stakes or the Prix de la Forêt. Well, there were a few anti-post movers on Saturday at Haydock Newmarket and Beverley, to be honest with you. Made in India at Haydock for Eric Alston, won the Achilles Stakes. That one could run in the Wokingham. Rated 92, gets a penalty for the race. He's 25 from 66 for the Wokingham. but there is a listed race on the same day at Ayr, so Eric's got a lot of choices to make.
Yeah, he has indeed. Let's talk about Classique then, the Pinnacle winner also at Haydock. I think many people were expecting Willie Mullins to win again with True Self. God, she must have traded at a short price, mustn't she? But Classique stormed away from her.
Yeah, I was hoping that High Garden would turn up here for John Gosden. I backed it in the week, actually, Antipose. I just wanted to take on True Self, which might seem like a bit of aftertime. I mean, now that she's been turned over at 8-11.
In hindsight, she was very short, though.
Well, and she hasn't come up against this, that sort of filly before. Mm. Classique is trained by William Haggis. She's a proper flat filly. True Self is, something that started in bumper type sphere, As solid as she can be. I think she does give the form a decent look, I've got to say. And Palasto was in third. A horse that's been waiting, maybe not quite so soft, but doesn't go on that firm ground. Roger Varian's always thought to the world of it. I think that we might have seen a proper performance in this Pinnacle Stakes in the Group 3. It's been won by the likes of Patil in recent years. Yep. Got Given last year, went on to win at the top level, albeit abroad. I think this is a filly that when she gets soft ground later on, she's going to take out
a mare's at Ascot, maybe?
Very possibly. I like her a lot. She's come through those handicap ranks, typical Haggis project this. Love the way that she went clear. She made True Self look pretty slow, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Robbie, thoughts on Classique?
Yeah, it was an impressive performance. Looking at the pedigree, Galileo out of Shah Mehdi, the late Henry Cecil. When I was first getting into racing, this mare won the Matron Stakes. Very good filly. Awfully well bred, as you said about the champion fillies and mares. That might not be on the realms of possibility. Yorkshire Oaks races like that, but I think the soft ground was probably the key to her. Now that was her best performance by miles. Probably disappointed my True Self, because you could argue, being national hunt bred, that she'd probably be quite suited to that sort of heavy ground, 1-mile 4. But she did a Pilastrin behind, who's a Group 2 winner, so probably not a bad effort. I think the winner was just a rapidly improving filly.
Yeah, any prices for the future on Classique, Binners?
No, nothing for the future at the moment, Maddie. It was interesting to see Maureen Haggis suggest that the horse could go up to 1.06 and the horse is entered in the Stenera Stakes at Leopardstown on the 11th of July. So maybe they'll go to Ireland with Classique.
Yeah, certainly opens up plenty of options, doesn't it? We've mentioned Made in India already. Would she be on your Royal Ascot radar, either of you?
No.
No.
Just going to leave that with a no. A very likeable sort, but again, these Haydock sprints on that ground is...
Yeah, it can get some funny results.
Exactly. It's a bit like, Southall to Lingfield to a certain extent, Maybe being a bit vague there. But I think some of the form on Saturday is best left there, probably.
Okay. Robbie, nice to see some smaller connections sort of getting in the winner's circle there. Eric Alston does really well with his string, doesn't he?
Yeah, it was very, very good for Eric Alston. But in that race, I thought there was quite a big eye catcher in second. Lady in France, who is a filly I didn't know a lot about, but that was only her second start. And she only made her debut in May, and she's taken a massive step forward from that for Carl Burke. You'd have to mark that down as a massive run, and I'd be keen to see where she goes.
Okay, good action at Beverley as well on the weekend. We had the Brian Yardley and the Hilary Needler, both really informative two-year-old races. Would either Liberty Beach or Summer Sands be tickling your fancy for any of the races at Royal Ascot, Dave?
The latter, if I was going to go with one, and it would be Norfolk Stakes. You remember Connections won this with Prince of Lear a couple of years ago. Mm. He went on to follow up there. This chap's been rated £4 below him. I thought it was a good, brave performance, probably from the right horse as well, I think, in second. And Fahey knows what he's doing at the moment with these, doesn't he? Mm. He's got some interesting horses for this lot, actually. That would be the one, I think. Oh, Purple Rain. It was a bit surprising after seeing him in the Woodcut staying on like a train that they came for this race. It was a bit soon, wasn't it? It suggests that he's a proper two-year-old, basically. They're not going to take the time with him. I spoke to Richard Ann not that long ago, and some of these better two-year-olds that we've seen so far, he's not that keen on Royal Ascot for them. So when he does get them out quickly and a lot, it shows you exactly what sort of horses they are, I think.
Yeah, I think I spoke to him at the start of the season. He was quite insistent that he's training them differently now. They'll come on very much so for their first runs. Binners, Summer Sands then, what price can we get about him for the Norfolk?
Yeah, for the Norfolk, Maddie, we put him in at 33-1 first show. The Hilary Needler winner, Liberty Beach, is 25-1 first show for the Queen Mary for John Quinn. Looks like she's going there. And an interesting one from that race, the third, Moon of Love for Richard Fahey. Didn't have the best of runs. We put that one in at 40-1 first show for the Queen Mary, and that could be a big price.
Any value to be had there?
Yeah, I fully agree with Binners on Moon of Love. I've got her in my notes. Massive eye catcher, badly hampered about a furlong out, nearly unseated Baron McHugh. I thought a goose would be cooked then, but she kept on fighting away. If that experience doesn't harm her mentally, then she could be a player in the Queen Mary. Maybe that might come a bit too soon now. We're very much closing on Royal Ascot, but
you can tell he sits on the top desk in the office.
Yeah, 100%.
Goose cooked. I mean, you could just keep them coming, Wilders.
Robbie's got a whole different array of phrases that he just chucks them out.
How he reads them from these people. Everyone points. I don't know. I give him a stick every time I come in. Apparently. If you can actually see them.
No, it's, I'm more right. I'm not really reading it. I'm just sort of.
It's like Braille, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. When you write it down, it's more like just stay in your head. Apparently, I say very much so quite a lot as well. People give me a lot of stick for that, but because it's quite a superfluous phrase. Anyway, I really like that. But that was her debut as well, so there must be more to come.
Same connections, the
Cool Silk partnership as well. And the winner had experience, so you'd expect Moon of Love to possibly improve a bit more going forward.
Yeah, I was quite interested with the action at Newmarket. We had All Winning, Red Galileo, Flavius Titus, Nonchalance and Visionari were two of the two-year-old winners. I was really impressed with them, particularly Visionari for Mark Johnston. I think Calix and Shalar both won that race. Two really good two-year-olds. Dave, maybe Royal Ascot coming a little bit too soon for him?
Yeah, looks that way. Charlie Johnson asked us, I covered that meeting for the analysis department.
What do you think?
Charlie Johnson afterwards, the quote I got straight away was, we're probably going to come back for the July meeting. He'll get seven. Looked like he'll get seven, didn't it?
Yeah.
The thing to say about Newmarket on Saturday was, unlike everywhere else, it missed most of the rain. They were kicking off the turf, and I was convinced after looking at, you know, at that opening race, which all won, who could go over the Buckingham Palace, we should say, that it would be more like good. In fact, the times were backing up the fact it was pretty quick underneath. So most punters surely were, you know, concentrating on it there. He was a 10-1 shot, but he beat the right horse, didn't he?
Yeah.
A horse that was smashed off the boards at Nottingham. Let me just remind him.
Ottoman Court.
Yeah. That's right. Binners is in there. That they think a lot of. That one wore cheap pieces. They came right away. The two things to say about it, you had to be handy more often than not on Saturday at Newmarket, and the rail was no bad thing, despite the fact that a lot of jocks were coming down. So bear that in mind. He had both of those, basically. But the time suggests that he could be very good indeed. And he's related to a couple of smart winners over a mile. Johnson does get these. If you remember last year, the likes of Dark Vision, for example, maybe not, you know, hasn't gone on with it, but they can take out these big two-year-old prizes.
Card Shop won the July Stakes, didn't he?
Card Shop, that's very good. We've rated him as being £2 below Calix. So he's not got that far to go at all, and the time backed it up. So I think we might have seen a good one there.
Okay, any Newmarket eye-catchers?
Not really an eye-catcher, but it's good to see Red Galileo win off a big weight in the mile 6 furlong handicap. He's been around for donkey's years. He's been sort of rated in the low to mid 100s for about 5 years and just keeps his form. So that's pleasing to see for Godolphin. No, not a massive amount to take from Newmarket for me.
Okay, good to see you. Tom Siegel tipped that winner, so well done to him. Was that you angling to get away in Edgeways?
I just said that's probably going to go for the Pitman's Derby, isn't it? I think Red Galileo. I think that will go for the Northumberland Plate. It looks the way. It's first time Hood on Saturday, but Speedo Boy in second gives it a good look. Prashima, he looks like he's on his way back. Any more
very solid Prashima, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's a great big. I'm surprised they haven't tried their jumping with him. Maybe that will come. He could really go far in that sphere, I think. But I looked at a Red Galileo after that. They slashed him into 10-1, and I thought, is this a bit muggy looking for this? Could there be something less exposed? I think he's 1 from 2 on all weather, albeit a poly track at Kempton. He could just have a little bit more to offer, and 10-1 looks fair to me for that.
Yeah, when Godolphin have got one from those sort of handicaps, you always take note, don't you? Binners, any thoughts on Newmarket?
Yeah, well, Red Galileo, as Dave's just said, 10-1 now for the Northumberland Plate, which makes him a co-second favourite for the race. From 16-1. Another nice winner at Newmarket was Orr for William Haggas, whose team seemed to be in awesome form at the moment. That one might go for the Britannia. He's 14-1 co-second favourite from 20 for that. And yeah, and that two-year-old you've already talked about, Visionari, the time was very, very good. I look forward to seeing that one at the July meeting.
Indeed, as do we all, Binners. Let's take a break now before we look at some of the action this week.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. Begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now, action at Newbury on Thursday looks pretty good. We've got a listed race for fillies over a mile two. Some really eye-catching names in here. Entitle, one of them, relative to Enable. We've got Star Terms, Encapsulation, Antonio de Vega. Obviously, Binners, no betting yet, but we'll go to you first on your thoughts on this race.
Yeah, looking forward to this, Maddie. The one you just mentioned, Star Terms for Richard Hannon. Looks like Ryan Moore's going to take the ride. Ran well in the fillies trial, fourth to Queen Power, only beaten 2.5 lengths. So that looks good with the winner going. Looking like likely to go for the Ribblesdale Stakes. So at this early stage, I'm going to go Star Terms.
Yeah, Encapsulation's a filly I like. Not sure if she's going to go Irish trained, Dave, but it could be a smart race this if some stand their ground.
Yes, I think that John Gosnell's a key to this, probably. Entitle, you mentioned, you ran well at York, didn't it? Mm. The market suggested wasn't the first string. Again, that's been the state of her career so far. You would think, as that relative to Enable, she'd be short in the market every time. She pretty much hasn't been.
No.
But she's done some pretty good things on the track. However, he's got a cheeky one in here called Terrabellum.
Yeah, right, I down saw the bottom. That, yeah.
Frankie's jopped on her. And that Goodwood debut of hers, she cost a bundle. That's going to work out to be pretty good form, I think. The second ran at the weekend. It was called Memora for Simon Crisford at Zaney and had lots of okay form, hosed up at Goodwood at the weekend back there. And the third, Promissory, who cost about $1 million, something like that, she's going to win again soon. So Terrabellum, I think, is going places. And if she's ready and she's gone forward, I think she's going to take a lot of beating. Gosden's comments afterwards, you don't often hear him with a maiden winner saying they've got so much class. He did with this one.
Okay. Speaks volumes then, Robbie. That horse that you'd sort of had a look at?
Interesting angle, yeah. I came down on Entitle at this early stage just by virtue of that Musadora run on the first start of the season. Obviously got the breeding in the book, half-sister to Enable. It's good ground at the moment at Newbury. It's meant to rain throughout the week, so I don't know what sort of going it'll be. Being a relative of Enable, maybe should be suited by a bit of soft ground as well. So, yeah, I'll probably come down on her, but I'll wait to see what's declared.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Definitely be looking forward to seeing her on some decent ground with a bit of cut in it. The 7:40 at Leopardstown, again on Thursday, is a Group 3. It's the Ballycora Stakes. Could be quite an interesting affair, this. Speaking Colours is at the top, a horse for Joseph O'Brien. Really talented horse in his day. We've also got Flight Risk, Gordon or Byron Mankibbs in there for William Haggis as well. Could be a British representative. Binners, we'll go over to you first again.
Well, the top one, Speaking Colours for Joseph O'Brien. Looking forward to seeing that one, Maddie. Second to Mr. Lupton in the Greenland Stakes at the Curra last month. And if he's come on from that run, I think he'll go close.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard to argue with that. What do you think, Robbie? Yeah,
well, Flight Risk's entered again. He won last week. He won this 2 years ago, but I wouldn't be 100% sure that he'd quickly back up. Aidan O'Brien has 9 enters, so it'd be interesting to see what he runs. The one out of his 9 I came down was Dunkirk Harbour. Currently rated 101, but is improving all the time. On his last start, he wasn't beaten far by the Queen Anne bound Hazapur and Verbal Dexterity, who was a very smart 2-year-old a couple of years ago. But he's by Declaration of War, so I'd be a bit concerned if there's any sort of ease in the ground, he'd want it fast. We'll see what Aidan runs. Another interesting entry is Mankib, who ran the John of Gaunt the other day, didn't he? We didn't talk about it. He banged his head in the stalls.
Yeah.
His goose was cooked, obviously.
Goose was cooked. The goose was definitely
cooked. Have you got a bet on how many times you can mention it?
Very much so.
You'll get to know him far too quickly.
Very interesting if he showed up, because he didn't have a chance to show his form there. But yeah, we'll wait till nearer the time.
I mean, how do you treat your horse like that, you know, that does something in the stalls? You know, as a punter, it's difficult,
it
isn't it?
Bad, didn't it, though?
If you're in running, then fair enough. But if you're someone that takes a prize early, you have to factor that into his price. You mentioned Flight Risk. I think that's probably the way I'd play in this, actually. He is tough, isn't he? Mm. And loves the track. And like you say, he won it a couple of years ago. I think he was pretty much back to his best last time, although it's a quick tournament. Speaking Colours, of course, the trip is the issue for him. He's only run
That's
over
true,
six.
Yeah.
It could well improve him. It would be, you know, a slight worry for me conceding £3 to Flight Risk. But there's a load of horses in this race that need to bounce back. So Dunkirk Harbour is quite interesting. Ground, I totally agree.
That's the key.
These Declarations of War, they love a sound service or Potter Track or Tapiti.
Yeah, we'll see what Aidan O'Brien fires at the race. Friday, we've got decent action at York. The 4:05 is the listed Ganton Stakes. Sir Dancelot, who ran in the John of Gaunt, probably absolutely hated the ground, didn't he? He could run there, but I doubt it. Waddell Saffer's a really interesting horse, as is Oh, This Is Us, just a couple of the names that are engaged there. Any thoughts, Dave?
Well, Oh, This Is Us is probably the one horse that doesn't have that much to prove going into the race. It's just whether there's classier animals in there, I suppose. So Dance Like the Trip, again, it's up to a mile, isn't it?
He's, again,
a specialist horse, really. Stiff 6 furlongs when he's got his ground, fair enough, but he's a 7 furlong horse, I think. Exactly like, Safe Voyage. It's a tricky thing. It's like your 2 mile, four hurdlers.
Do you think sort of good races at the top level, or does it dilute? I mean, races like the Foray, should we?
Foray, but it's late in the season, isn't it? So you've got to be very patient to go there. Safe Voyage, for example, if we go back to him, Saturday's impressive winner. I backed him in that handicap on Champions Day last year, and he ran stinker. It can't just have been the trip and the track and the ground. Is he one of these horses that gets in early? It does happen. They tend to go over the top a bit, don't they? So the Foray's a long way off to be aimed at.
Yeah, OK. Robbie, what do you think? Let's stick back to the Ganton Stakes.
Well, I think Sedansot's the best horse in the race, without a doubt. Rated 115. His comeback run in the Lockinge was pretty decent. He finished 7th there. Mosse's booked up. I'll probably keep it simple with him.
Really? OK.
My Dissalfa, I think, is the interesting one in there. It's terrible at Ascot on his return, wasn't it, behind?
Yeah. Is that the Zaki race?
Zaki race and Barney Roy. Oh, I should just kidding. He's one of my bankers of the week next week, Barney Roy.
In the Queen Anne?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, he's gonna smash them, I think. Owen Burrows this morning in the paper, in Monday's edition of the papers, come out and said not bad as last year, but they've just been so slow to come to hand. Terrible news about Larabe, of course.
Yeah.
I've got so much time for that horse, I had. So hopefully Owen's putting a slightly positive spin on it now. He's had winners, they've just not been coming, have they? So frustrating, but he's a pupil formerly for Sir Michael Stouts. He's got loads of patience. It will turn for him. This chap is a course and distance winner, and if he bounces back, he'll make them go.
You get the feeling he's sort of a classy horse in his day, don't you?
Yes.
Binners, any thoughts on the Ganton Stakes at York?
Well, I think Maddie Sir Dancelot will win this race. He wasn't good enough in the Lockinge, but it's been a long time since he's run at listed level. He's been running in the top table for a long time, and I think he's going to be too good for this lot.
Nice and simple, keeping the confidence with Sir Dancelot. Now, it's got to be unlikely that either Pink Dogwood or Classique are going to turn up in the Munster Oaks Group 3 at Cork, 7:25, again on Friday. We're going to count them out, I presume. But Aidan O'Brien's won 4 of the last 5 runnings. Understandably fantastic record in the race. He's got a whole host of fillies in here. What do you think, Dave?
20 entered shows you exactly what sort of race this is, and that you can get horses coming from the Oaks to this race and pulling it off, although it's not ideal, is it? Flattering won it last year, Santa Monica won it the year before, now racing in America, of course. The best recent winners, probably Sapphire of Dermot Wells.
She was good filly, weren't she?
1-1-3 we gave her, so it's who can step up to that. If I was plumping for one now, it's tricky before the Thursday deck stage, of course. Probably Who's Steph down the bottom. There's been a mix of 3-year-old and older winners in this race. It's not one where the filly's weight a differential makes that much difference. And I thought she should have beaten Tanawa on her last run, and she's got form at this track. She is beatable. If something takes a massive leap forward, and who knows with these O'Brien fillies, maybe there is one, but a lot of them have got something to prove. I thought she would be thereabouts.
Okay, Binners, what did you think?
I'm going for Who's Steph as well, actually, Maddie. My only concern is that Tanawa didn't run a great race in the Oaks, but Epsom is a very unique course, as you guys all know very well, undulating, very strange track. Who's Steph won that Blue Wind Stakes at Naas very nicely, and depending what Aidan O'Brien shows up with, I think Who's Steph has got a good chance.
Yeah, not necessarily one to back, Robbie, but I thought it was quite interesting that Harry Fry's now got 4 white socks, formerly with Luca Gumani.
That was fascinating.
Caught my eye.
It'd be interesting to see if she goes, you couldn't be backing her, certainly. Really like Who's Steph, but I'd be a bit concerned about the trip. She's never run over a mile and a half, and it's currently yielding ground at Cork, and there's a bit more rain forecast. It could get potentially soft, heavy. I'll be a bit concerned about that. As you said, whatever Aidan runs is going to be worth looking at again. 4 of the last 5 winners, but 3 have been 3-year-olds. He's not going to run Pink Dogwood in the 40s, big guns, but he might run Delphinia, who is 5th in the Oaks. She's a sister to Delano Roosevelt, might be the one, should be suited by conditions, rapidly improving, and he's proven time and time again that he can extract wins out of horses that are backing up quite quickly. So she'd be the most interesting runner for me.
Indeed. We're going to talk about the rest of this action this week, just after this break.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back then to the final instalment of this Monday postcast. We've had a look back at what happened on the weekend, but now we're going to look forward to this week. I'll run you through the meetings. Tomorrow we're at Salisbury, Lingfield, Thirsk, Carlisle, Ross Common. Wednesday is Yarmouth, Fontwell, Haydock, Punchestown, Kempton and Hamilton. Thursday is Newbury, that good meeting that we mentioned, Nottingham, Yarmouth, Leopardstown, Uttoxeter and Haydock. And Friday is Chepstow, York, Sandown, Newton Abbot, Aintree, Goodwood and Cork. So lots to choose from. Dave, who have you been looking at this week?
The race after the Ganton Stakes, the 4:40 if you wait till Friday, Filly's Handicap Sprint, Island of Life for William Haggins. You remember her, she's been on the go for quite a while, hasn't she? No luck whatsoever in listed company last time. I think she's still on an all right mark, and if they can rev her up at the furlong marker, she's definitely one to be interested in. There's a good meeting at Kempton. I love these midweek Kempton evening meetings. It's a track that I, you know.
Why is that?
I just think you get some decent stock there. The race is always competitive. It's a fair track. It's probably just about the fairest all weather track, isn't it? Don't you think?
Not
Would
sure.
You say?
It could be.
I think it is.
Do you have any strong thoughts?
I wouldn't want to say, to be honest.
You're not an all weather fan?
I don't mind the all weather, but I'm not sure if I'm particularly qualified to be making that call.
It's just a track I can read, I think. I think that's probably why I like it. You know, that and Wolverhampton, my favourite.
I can't, not very well. I struggle with
Struggle with Lingfield a little bit because of just that downhill and, you know, the inside and where they're going. And as for Newcastle, don't get me started. So, but there are some good races there. Hugo Palmer runs one in the 6:50 called Caravan of Hope.
He rates this horse.
It shouldn't be favourite, and it ran a blinder on its debut at Carlisle when you had to be on that stand side rail. Yes. Do you remember that recent meeting where all the rain came down? It wasn't, and it ran a blinder. I didn't think it would be favourite, and so that might be a bet.
Yeah, I've got to say, I did actually go to his yard. God, it must be about a year ago now, and he did put that up as a horse that he liked.
Hopefully it's a horse going places.
So big eye catcher last time out. I noticed that as well. Binners.
Well, a little bit controversial, Maddie, as we record this Monday lunchtime, but I'm going to go for one Monday evening, 5:55, and it's at Ross Common. So hopefully early listeners to the podcast will get something out of this. Value Chain for the Currycundra, Brendan Duke. I spoke to him this morning. This one was second in the first two-year-old race of the season at Nace, and is around the 12-1 poke. Brendan says it's a competitive race, but he won't be far away. So hopefully he'll run well. And anyone who misses the race before they listen to this, I think this isn't what Brendan's told me, but I just think this will be one for the nurseries later on, maybe at the Curra or the Galway or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on this evening and if he gets anywhere near the judge later on in the season.
Okay, always reliable, Binners. Before we go to Robbie, I'm going to chuck one in there. Not so much a bet, but just a horse of interest. On Thursday at Newbury, Casting Spells has entered in the 2:30. This horse owned by John Dance. John actually let me pick out the horse and name it by Lope de Vega. And she ran really nicely on debut. A bit sort of slow to come to hand, but she finished 6th of 10th in a good race there. And fingers crossed she can step up Casting Spells.
Something different.
Yeah, go for it, Robbie.
Yeah, this isn't so much a bet, but I'm a big fanboy for pedigrees and Ballydoyle horses. There's a half-brother to Caravaggio, ended up at Leopardstown, 5:35 on Thursday, Hong Kong. He had an entry at Newbury a couple of weeks ago, but he didn't turn up there. He's by American Pharoah. He was actually gambled on for the Coventry before he even ever raced, but he was pulled out. That'll probably come too soon, but I'm very interested to see how he gets on with that breeding. 7 furlong maiden, and Caravaggio is obviously best over 6. So maybe he's showing a bit more stamina at his young age, I'm not sure.
Maybe he's just a bit slower.
Or that, yeah. That's the worry as well. But American Pharoah's obviously had a smart winner in Cornwall with Monarch of Egypt. I'll be interested to see how he goes.
Yeah, it's been a bit harsh then.
Well, for Wesley Ward next week, is it Maven? Yes. He was the first American Pharoah, wasn't he, to win in the States, I think.
Seems to be doing well, don't they?
I think it's about time we started hearing a bit more of him. It went a little bit quiet, didn't it? And yeah, so that is interesting.
Okay, let's get your naps then.
This will not be beaten.
I'll give you first pick this time, Robbie.
Thank you very much. Thursday, the 3:35 at Newbury Mile, 0-85 handicap. Horse called Leader Writer. Mentioned him a couple of weeks ago before the Epsom Mile handicap. He didn't turn up there, but he's definitely well treated. First run for David Ellsworth, really eye-catching third at Beverley. Beaten half length in his stable debut after leaving Henry Spiller. wasn't successful hurdling. That didn't work out, but he's come back. He's found a bit of form. He's only gone up a pound to a mark of 84, but in his peak, he was rated in the mid to high 90s. Showed a sign of life, should be suited by going and trip. And Ryan Moore is jocked up, which also enhances enthusiasm.
I really like that. Yeah, remember saying a couple of weeks ago, he's a very eye-catching runner last time out. Dave?
8.20 at Kempton, back of that lovely midweek meeting. A horse called Abriuni for Rafe Beckett, who's a course specialist. Forget his run 141 days ago at Newcastle. He absolutely loves this place and he's drawn in five. There's loads of pace in the race and he won't be favourite because Quick Breath for Johnny Portman won there last week. He's turned out quickly from the one poke. I think we can take him on there.
OK, Binners, finally, over to you.
The 3.45 at Salisbury on Tuesday, Maddie, the 10 furlong fillies handicap. The horse of Sylvester Kirk's called She Believes. She couldn't complete a hat-trick at Doncaster on the first of the month. But if you have a look at the rerun, she had a nightmare passage through the last couple of furlongs, only beaten 2.5 lengths, and I think she'll get back to winning ways.
OK, thanks very much, Binners. As always, make sure you rate, review and subscribe to these postcasts. We've got our weekend preview racing postcast on Friday. We'll be looking ahead at all the weekend cards in much detail then, and then we've got lots of stuff coming out before Royal Ascot next week, so stay tuned to our channel for all of that. We'll see you soon.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.